Welcome to the School of the Word. This is the conclusion to Lesson 1 in our teaching on the Book of Colossians titled, Complete in Christ. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I hope you're not coming here this morning just to hear a good little bedtime story. In other words, I sure hope I don't put you to sleep. But I do hope that you're coming here this morning open to the possibilities of something being discovered in God's Word that will change your life. And one of the first things we want to do is that when you come across a truth, the first thing we tend to do is say, boy, I wish so-and-so could hear that one, you know. What we want to consider is how does this impact my life, not how I need to apply it to someone else. So, Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you that you've given me lungs that I might breathe your air, then vocal cords that I might speak your truths. Thank you that you've given us all good hearing, that we can hear your word. And Lord, I thank you today that we're healthy. And I thank you, Lord, there's nobody in this room with cancer.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, everybody's clean.
Thank you, Lord.
That's enough to be thankful for right there and just say glory, hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. None of us have cancer, and we're free of that. So that's enough just to rejoice in right there. So we thank you today, oh God, for that. And so we thank you for it, Lord, and we ask and pray in Jesus' name. You'll be with us. Continue to give us revelation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This glory. Amen. I like that. So we'll begin again in Colossians. I'm going to do just a quick little overview. I'm going to finish up lesson one last week and do a little, try to do lesson two today. So I'll do a quick overview. How many was here last week? Okay, how many were not here last week? Okay, we're about a third and two-thirds. So I'll go over a little quick overview. If you don't have a workbook or at the back to put your notes in, this one at the back is, you know how it is when you come in, I'd like for you to sign in, pick up last week's notes, put it in your notebook. In the back of your notebook is the book of Colossians. If you'll notice, it's in the King James Version. And I think I'm about the only one that uses it and carries it anymore. But you met somebody the other week that does. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm still one of those that does that. And there is a reason I do that. It just so happens prophetically the King James translation connects some prophetic dots that other translations aren't quite aware of. And other translations are better in other areas, but from a prophetic person, that one, it tends to connect the dots better. So now in Colossians in lesson one, I'm going to go over last week's lesson right quickly, and then we'll try to get in lesson two a little bit. My goal in studying the book of Colossians is that you know the book of Colossians. And so, you know, it's amazing when we get the book of Philippians. I walked up to several and say, all right, tell me what the book of Philippians is about. Book of joy. You've totally retained and learned about the book of joy, the book of Philippians. We'll also be the same way in Colossians. But we also want to be the same way about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Hebrews. So as Christians and as students of the Word, when somebody brings up a particular book, we should automatically already know a little bit about the content of the book and those type things. And when you can do that, then you can say that I have the Word of God is being written upon my heart. We don't have to quote Scripture, but it's nice if we kind of understand what's going on in each book. And that's what our goal is in the book of Colossians. So with the book of Colossians, if we gave it a title, we would see it would be complete in Christ. Now, I'm still doing a little bit of an overview in lesson two, which I'm going to get into. We're still doing a little bit of an overview. In lesson two, we'll start getting into the actual verses of chapter one. Actually, this probably won't last but another 3 weeks probably, because chapter four is pretty much about fellowship. It goes real quickly. Most of the content of Colossians is in chapter 1, 2, and also in 3. So if we gave when you're looking at the book of Colossians, if you gave it a theme, you would say complete in Christ. Christ. Now, when Paul writes and he gives you information, Paul also tends to give you a warning in the same writing. And then the information has to do about the warning. So if you see that Paul's writing about being complete in Christ, automatically, because I know how Paul writes, then it tells me if Paul's writing about being complete in Christ, it must be the problem of some are not walking in being complete in Christ. And so therefore, he gives instructions on how to be complete in Christ because there's a warning of not walking in being complete in Christ. Does that make sense? And so that's the way the scriptures work. That's what I call the reflective, the spiritual reflection. You're looking at what's being said so you understand the dark side of what's not being said. Okay, and about the author, we know that it's Paul. We know that he was a man of prayer. We know that he ministered the gospel. He was also a huge servant. The Apostle Paul saw his life as that of a servant. He told the truth, and he also gives a warning in the book of Colossians. He was faithful, and he was gracious. The older I get, the more faithfulness has a tremendous meaning to me. Anybody else? To remain faithful and to... You can say, well, Alan, what does not being faithful? How do you do that? I'm not really sure. I'm not going to study it to see what that means. Okay. He was also a prisoner, and he had a huge concern for others. Now, here we get into the warnings in Colossians 2. And this verse 4 says that the whole letter was written so that no one deludes them with a persuasive argument. That's what the warning in Colossians chapter 2 is. So as Christians, if we see ourselves bound into argument, into a heavy debate, a Christian who knows what he knows doesn't need to argue debate what he knows. The only time you need to argue debate something is usually you're not too sure of it yourself. You maybe have it up here, but you don't have it in here. We live out that we know. You are not what you know. You are that you live out. In verse 6, Paul warns against being taken captive by philosophy and empty deception. In verse 16 through 22 of chapter 2, it includes the warnings about judging believers regarding some things written in the Old Testament, food and drink, and the like. That's in verses 16 through 23. Anstentiousism. Give me a definition of that. To not do stuff. To abstain. To not do stuff. All right, the warning includes about judging believers regarding some things written in the Old Testament, food, drink, festival. In other words, if you judge somebody, well, did you go to church this Sunday? That's judging somebody. It's called anstentiousism. And the reason that it's called that, because it's about if you don't do something, it makes you more spiritual. You don't do this. If you don't drink something, you don't eat something. If you're not observing a holy day. You see, the Apostle Paul says we're complete in Christ and says you got to understand all of that was fulfilled in the cross of Christ. So he says don't judge each other by that anymore. That's what he's saying. And so that's what we call sometimes a religious spirit or something like that. And most of Christianity has a mixture of that. Now the point is, of course, we shouldn't do some things. But it's almost like if you have to discuss it, you're not getting the point. The point is, if you really get Christ, you don't have to study so much what you're not supposed to do. You're just studying what you need to do. You see? If we got to go around slapping everybody on the hands all the time, you're not getting it. Right? You know, the only time you give your children a spanking is because they're not getting it. Wouldn't you rather that they got it? I mean, the goal is that they get it. And that's the goal. So... I'll get stuck if I'm not careful. Okay. Christ. Now, the key words is Christ, primarily in chapters 1 and 2. Christ is the main repetitive word. There again, Christ, and we have warnings. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are also the key words. Wisdom, knowledge, and what? Understanding. I went over this last week. Complete, all, full, fullness are repetitive words several times as well. Now, these are in your notes that are at the back. Hopefully you picked them up on your way in, but these are in your notes, and then I would like for you to take those notes those key words, which is Christ in 1 and 2, go through your work, your what I call observation worksheets in the back of your book there, which is the scriptures. And I would like for you to go to chapters 1 and 2 and underline Christ or highlight in those. Then I'd like for you to go back there and underline or highlight wisdom, knowledge, understanding. They're repetitive words. Complete, all, full, fullness are repetitive words. Do you see that? Complete, all, full, fullness. Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about Christ. So what's the emphasis? Complete, all, full, fullness. So you can see when we get off of the person, Jesus Christ, even our revival spirit, or what, if we get off of that, you're going to feel the revival spirit, the spirit of the thing starts dropping. If let's say, for instance, you want to pray for others, it's good to pray for others. But in all honesty, if you come up here and say, all right, I'll use myself, let's pray for Alan. Well, Alan needs all the prayer you can give him. But in a service, if you change the object from Christ and God the Father to Alan, you're going to feel the Spirit kind of do this, it's going to kind of pull down. You say, come on, does everybody get it there? So we're not trying to uplift any person, even though it's appreciated. All prayer is appreciated. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying we want to keep our focus on the cross of Jesus Christ and not an individual. It's fine to say, well, didn't the children do good this morning? Didn't they do good? Or didn't this? Or didn't that? And I'm not saying we can't give each other recognition every now and then. Of course we can. But in a revival setting in spirit, if you want to keep the spirit level high of revelation and the Spirit of God moving, just don't give man too much credit in that moment. Just meet after church and we'll do that or something, you know. So that's just a little thought there. We always want to, our completeness is in him. It's not in a person. Person will fail you. Christ will not. If you set up a person, they're going to fall. So don't set up anybody in this church. We don't want them to fall. If you put somebody on the pedestal, that means they're coming down. So just don't do that. Don't put anybody on a pedestal except Jesus Christ and his cross. He's the one that was up high and to be lifted up by us and by others. That's kind of a little revival rule. It's always about him. It's not about us. It's not about a great singer, right? It's not about a great guitar player. It's not about a great drummer. It's not about any of that. Once the focus, if anybody tries to draw focus unto themselves and not unto him, then the spirit level starts to, it'll start dropping because we've lost our focus. That's part of what he's talking about in Colossians. We're complete in him. And we got to go from a knowing to a believing. We can know we're complete in him, but we want to believe we're complete in him. So if we're in a revival spirit and we're all really believing it's in him, we're not going to lift anybody up or anything. It doesn't even enter our brains because we're all caught up in what he's done for us and what he's done for others and what he's going to do. We're just caught up in the spirit, in that reality. It goes from a knowing to a believing because what you believe is what you'll do. You will not do what you know to do. Listen, you're not doing what you know now. So the problem's not in the knowing. The problem's in the believing. Paul talks about that. Two verses that summarize the book of Colossians. Two main verses. You can mark this in your worksheets at the back. I'd go to chapter 1, verse 27, 28, and I put these two verses summarize the book of Colossians. And you're in the back there of your workbook, chapter 1, verses 27, verses 28. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you see there the Apostle Paul is talking about you and me, but who's the central of the focus? It's Christ in you. In other words, we could have somebody pray for somebody and they get saved. Or somebody could pray for somebody and they'd be healed. Say Trevor prays for somebody and they get healed. I'm not trying to give us a language to speak, but the proper understanding is, Trevor, Christ in you sure did a good job. James led somebody to the Lord. Did James lead him to the Lord? No. James, Christ in you, sure did a good job and led that one to the Lord. And the reason I say it like that, that's our true understanding. That's the authentic understanding of what we're doing. And we need to understand how closely related we are in associating who Christ is for us taking a little of the glory. The safe place to run is it's all about Him. The authentic place to run is it's all about Him. And if you live long enough, you'll realize that the older you get, the more qualified you are to carry Him in you. But it doesn't change the truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do you think happened? Can you imagine how Mary, we're almost coming in Christmas season, can you imagine how Mary felt to carry the Son of God? It's the same way you're supposed to feel. Because you carry the Son of God. Was Mary special? You better believe it. Are you special? You better believe it. We carry the Son of God just as she carried the Son of God. The difference is she gave birth to Him, but in us He is risen. Can you feel Him rising up in you right there? I felt something. I don't know where it come from. North, south, east, or west, but she come from somewhere. It's Christ in you is the hope of glory. Your feeling, your reality is you are carrying Christ just like Mary carried Christ. It was not begotten of man. When you became born again, you were begotten of the Spirit. Was Mary Jesus? No. Did she carry Jesus? Yes. Are you Jesus? No. Do you carry Jesus? Yes. That's the reason I say, Trevor, Christ in you sure did a good job. I say of James, Christ in you sure led that boy to the Lord. And it's that understanding that increases the spiritual power that Christ will use through you. You can never leave that simplicity of the gospel. It's all about Him. It's not about us. And when you walk in that, and Paul addresses that in Colossians, it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. How do you present someone perfect in Christ? It's because you understand you are carrying Jesus just like Mary did. You're not Jesus, but He's in you. And you give full attention and honor and a rest to that fact. So if you go up to somebody that's sick, you can say, Alan, don't know if I have enough faith for it. It's okay. It's not about you. You say, well, Alan, I don't have enough faith. It's all right. It's not about you. Let me ask you this. Is Christ in you? Yes. Do you think He's got enough faith for it? Well, I hope so. Did you feel it? So you're exercising the faith of Christ in you. Yours will catch up after a while. But you have the authority of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you're praying for somebody, you can say, boy, I don't feel worthy of this. You're not. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. So I'm going to go pray for this person. Jesus, you're in me. And I'm exercising the Jesus that's in me. I have faith in you, Christ, to do whatever you're calling here. And I'm going to start praying, and all of a sudden you'll start praying, and you'll start saying things. You think, well, where'd that come from? And you'll start praying, and you'll think, gosh, that's pretty good. You'll get proud of yourself almost. You'll start doing that thing, and all of a sudden you'll start talking, you'll start praying, you'll get done. You'll, wow, man, I clearly believe there's something to that one. It's amazing. How that'll happen. And not only that, when you recognize that reality and that truth, and when you're praying for people, let's say people are up here worshiping. And they're worshiping. And all of a sudden you say, God the Father, I don't know how to worship, but Jesus, would you worship the Father through me? See, it's not about you worshiping. It's about you worshiping with Christ. Let him take your hand. Let him take your heart. Let him worship with you. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're carrying Jesus just like Mary carried Jesus. Mary wasn't Jesus, and you're not either. But you're carrying him. He means he's real close to you. And you're working with him, and you're walking with him. And he'll stir you up real good. He'll grab your old heart and squeeze water out your eyes. Beatin' the thing I ever say. But I got off my point. My point is, that's what makes you perfect. How do we present every man perfect? It is as a church and as a people, we are instructing you with truth, which is the way that we can present you perfect to Christ Jesus today is for you to have the understanding that is Christ is in you, and that's the hope of glory. See, Christ, see, glory has a hope, and that hope is that you understand Christ is in you. Well, why? Why does glory have that hope? Why does the glory of God have that hope? I told you my favorite verse was God looked over at Moses and said, all right, Moses, I'm not going to kill Israel, but as surely as I live, I'm going to send my glory to the earth. Then we get into the New Testament. We find out that glory is in you. God sent it to the earth in a person called Jesus. Now that same glory has entered into your heart. If I'm to present you perfect before Jesus Christ, the way that happens is you receive and understand what I just said. And you're presented perfect because you know your perfection is in Him. And it makes you right bold. If we got to stand around and talk about what you don't do, you're missing the point. Because the point is Christ in you. If you're letting Christ live through you, you don't have to worry about the other stuff. You say, well, Alan, I haven't fully walked in him yet. I hadn't either. I got some stuff I need to quit. But as he grows in me, I will. The reason I tell people I'll sin if I got time. You can forgive me for saying that later. Point being, if I'm walking with Jesus, I just ain't got time. I ain't got time. He's got me busy. He's wanting to live through me and pray for this one, talk to this one, do to this one. If I ever get caught up, maybe I'll sin. I don't know. I'm too busy. He got me just running here and there. And it feels so good when he wants to use you to work through you. And I'm not getting anywhere. That's how we're presented perfect. He says to present every man perfect. Now, he does this in the chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this is in your notes. Of faith in Christ, Christ in you is the hope of glory is in chapter 1. Chapter 2, don't be deluded. All fullness is in Christ. You are complete in Him. That means He comes along. When people come along, they have fancy things to say or whatever. Never leave the truth that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And you're full and you're complete in Christ. If somebody comes to you and says, well, you're lacking something. Red flags, red flags, red flags. How can I be lacking something if I'm complete? A lot of people say, well, Alan, you need the baptism of the Spirit, and you need this, and you need that, and you need all these things. Well, let me say it like this. All of that's already in you. Now, the Spirit of the Lord might want to bring something to your attention. I can't lay hands on you and give you any more than you already got. I'm sorry. It's already in you because you're complete in Him. Now you need to get in touch with what's in you. Yeah, there's a breakdown. But I haven't got nothing to give you because you're already complete. Or the book's lying. I know it's not lying because I know I ain't got nothing to give. When I pray for somebody, you know what I do? I agree with what's already in them. That's all I do. They say, Alan, how'd you know that? I'm just agreeing with what's there. I didn't know, didn't put it in there. I'm just agreeing with what's in there. How did you know that? I just want Christ in me to come forth. That's all I know. You see somebody that's sick, you go to them, you're trusting Christ in you to pray what you need to pray. Person will sit there and they'll say, oh my gosh, how did you know that? How did you know to pray that? Well, the truth is, you didn't. The only thing you did was you agreed with what's in you, because you know you're already completed. I've seen people run from here to there to everywhere because they want this person to lay hands on them, that one to lay hands on them, and all. Listen, that's a reproach against the finished work of Christ. Amen. Get in touch with He that's in you, because He's the one that overcame the world. Reach out and touch someone. That sounds good. Chapter 3. Therefore, set your mind on things above. This is how you present yourself perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, let me back up. Holy Spirit just did something for me here. When somebody comes up and lays hands on you, they can help activate or help call out what's in you. I'm not against people praying for you or laying hands on you or any of that. Because somebody, it can work that way. You can pray for somebody. And you can lay hand, and you can pray for them. Holy Spirit will pray through you. Jesus will pray through you. It's like it'll activate something in their heart. Just don't think you got the power and you did it. Amen. Just don't do that one. That's the no-no. It's Christ in you. And yes, we want to do those things. And yes, it can activate. I just want you to understand it's already in you. You might not be walking in you, but it's... You ever bought a new car and discovered something 2 years later, a little old gadget was in it? Like, where would that come from? You know, it's amazing. I bought a new pickup truck and had a big trailer behind it, went to Wilmington. And I said, brand new truck, and I was proud of that truck. It's a Ford truck I got right now. So it's got me a new truck, and I pull on this trailer. And I got on the interstate, and that was the sickest thing I ever. The thing wouldn't pull a hat off your head. I drove all the way to Wilmington, put a machine on the trailer. Came all the way back, and before I got to the station, I said, I'm trading this truck as soon as I get back. This thing wouldn't put a hat on your head, much less pull it off. I got right there about 64 exit, and I looked on the end of the drive, you know, where you put it in drive and everything around in, it said tow haul. Oh, tow haul, what's a tow haul? I didn't even know there's a little button on the end of it. I just saw tow haul. And I noticed on my dash, this thing kept flashing, tow haul, tow haul, tow haul. I didn't do it on the way down to Wilmington, but when I put the machine on it, tow haul. That's all I thought, what is that? And I looked on, there was tow haul. I thought, what is that? And I looked on in, and I pushed a button. I think, ooh, and it did like to come out from under me. Listen, it's already in you. Sometimes you got to find the tow haul button, that's all. The Holy Ghost in you is not that sick. It's not that lacking of power. Just got to know how to push the button. It's in you all the time. Still might trade that truck. Now, chapter 4. Pray, conduct yourselves in wisdom. That's what chapter... Now, all of these four chapters is talking about presenting every man perfect in Christ. How do we do it? Hope of glory. We have fullness in Christ. We got to set our minds, and then we got to conduct ourselves in wisdom. Now, here's the main point of each chapter. Chapter 1 is a mystery it calls it. Y'all have heard me talk about the mystery. If you put anything on my tombstone to say the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery excites me. It's Christ in you, and that's walking worthy. Chapter 2, now this is the main points of the chapter, is warnings are we're to walk in Him. Chapter walk in faith, do not be taken captive. So it tells us we can be captivated if we're not careful. 3 is an exhortation to seek things that are above, put on faith. And chapter 4 is the call to fulfill your ministry. There again, we're doing an overview. Now, in all honesty, the teaching of the book of Colossians is about 50% overview. Excuse me. You got to understand the book as a whole. Now, theme is complete in Christ. Now, this is little divisions. I've told you, Paul says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, right to divine the word of truth. So Paul always writes in these divisions. So you got chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. Now watch this. Chapter 1 and 2 is talking more about doctrine. Chapter 3 and 4 is more about duty. Then, with the doctrine, it speaks about how is this doctrine? It tells you what you have in Him. Now, with duty, it has what you do in Him. Now, you got to understand what you have in Him before you hit the tow haul button, and that does what you do in Him. Right? But you got to find the, you got to know it before you'll do it. You got to know it's there to do it. So then you end up finding out, okay, God, I'm a little scared here, but I am praying right now that you activate every part of your Holy Spirit that's within me and use me as you will. That's the reason some people, the Holy Spirit will activate this gift, another one that gift, another one this gift, another one that gift. Understanding the gifts are usually used, not even when you're in a revival setting. They're still there and they can be used. But in a revival setting, God speaking more as an individual. You can be sitting back there and the Spirit of God just move on you in a way. And if you understand you got Christ in you might say, go up there and pick up the worship flag. Then starts the conversation. But I'm going to look stupid. Jesus says, I know. But that's not going to help anything. Jesus says, I wouldn't have told you to if it wasn't going to help anything. Now you start on this internal dialogue. What we want to do is just learn Jesus says, raise up the worship flag, go up there and do it. Because there's somebody sitting somewhere, sitting back there and say, all right, God, I'm going to believe this is you if somebody walks up there and picks up the worship flag. Think I'm kidding, don't you? People sitting everywhere to say, putting out fleeces for God. Just, okay, if you'll do this, God, I'll believe. Something happened to me a couple weeks ago. I said, all right, God, if you'll do this, I'm going to think this one's of you. 30 seconds had come by, there it was. I said, oh. I said, all right, God, I want two on this one, God. I did with my hand up, I'm confessing. I said, God, I ain't too sure on that first one. Maybe I didn't ask it just right. And I said a second one, it wasn't my 15 seconds, that thing hit me right in the face. And it just kind of unglued me. So did that happen to me? The answer is yes. Are people doing that? Yes. Pick up a worship flag. If God tells you to pick up a worship flag, this is not an intellectual meeting. Right? You don't. And you can say, well, you know, God helped me with a flat tire. You say, well, that's not big. This person just had their arm growed back on. And I go up and tell about a flat tire. That's not nothing. Now listen, Jesus wouldn't be raising it up in you if you're not to do it. A flat tire is an arm to somebody else. You don't know what the Spirit of God's going to do. You just have absolutely no idea. Just be obedient to Christ in you. That's what I'm saying. Get in touch with Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a lot of things Christ has spoken to people that's even in here. You haven't quite figured out where it fits in yet, but you know you're supposed to do it or say it or whatever. The part you do is you don't try to figure out where it's just the right spot. Just when Christ moves upon you, you just do it. You're like, well, that ain't got nothing to do. It's all right. God gives it on a need-to-knows basis. We learn to move when He gives you the information. And if He wants you to wait a day, He'll give you the information, then He'll say, wait a day. If He doesn't say, wait a day, the time's now. You got to understand, a word from the Lord has shelf life. You can say, well, I should have said it last week and come up. Well, you can say it and it'll have a little to it, but it won't have the impact if you said it last week, right? That's the way it works. Now, what does that got to do with this slide? I have no idea. Okay. Two essentials in this book. One is, there's two essentials. One was the Word of God. The other one is prayer. So what he's saying is the Apostle Paul, he gives warning. He says you're complete in Christ. He says there's basically two essentials. One's the Word of God. It's in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The other one's prayer, and there's your verses. Your service is not to exceed the two essentials. In Acts 6, the apostles appointed deacons so they could stay. It's there in Acts 6, so they could stay around prayer and studying of the Word. So we have now taken on, we now have the understanding that we are walking in the office of what's called the priesthood. So that tells us we're like the apostles. People say, well, Alan, are you an apostle or he an apostle? I say, no, I'm not an apostle. Or we're all apostles. We're all priests and kings in Christ. That's what we are. I'm not an apostle. This is not what one looks like. I'm a dairy farmer up here telling y'all we're priests and kings in Christ. We've all got it. We're all supposed to do it. There's no super spiritual people here. There's one person, and it's Christ. And I'm just as impressed as Christ in you as I am in me. Matter of fact, I think you're doing a better job with him than I am. I'm trying to catch up. So we see we're supposed to be in prayer and in the study of the Word. And prayer activates the hand of God. It is a mystery. That one I don't plumb understand. I just know it's true. Prayer activates. So that's something like, yeah, can you lay hands on? Are we to pray for each other? Yeah. We'd pray for the sick? Yeah, for some reason. That kind of like it activates the hand of God for some reason. So if you can say, for instance, well, we're going to pray for somebody and there's 10 people up here, but the Lord says, yeah, you kind of go up here and pray for them too. And you can look, there's enough people up there. You might be the one that he's going to activate, not the other 10. You say, well, why would God do that? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just saying if the Holy Spirit moves on you, you might be the one. So move. That's all we're saying. Then everybody else think they did it. Right? Isn't that cool? Now, to walk worthy, you need three things. And this is where I was doing a little overview, and here's where I was going to pick up today. So I got 5 minutes to pick up today. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. We did that last week on the knowledge of his will. Now, it takes three things to walk worthy. Number one, we're to have the knowledge of his will. All right, to have the knowledge of the will of God is to know God. Right? Now, do you think that God wants anybody to be sick? I don't. I don't think he does. So, should we pray for the sick? Well, I think it's the will of God that we pray for the sick. Now, God knows all the points and the connections on what's going to happen here and there and everywhere. And he knows all this stuff. And if you're going to be healed now or later or over, that's his business. I can't figure that one out. But I can be responsive to his will and pray for people sick and hurting. How do I know I'm not going to miss one? I'm going to pray for all of them. That's how we're going to do it. I'd hate to quit one day just because I think, well, we're not sure if that's God. And that was the one. Right? So we're going to pray for all of them. Let God sort it out. Because we know what his knowledge of his will is. It's God's will to every man be saved. Right? So if we got 10 out here, we going to pick out which one we're going to? No, let's just do all 10. What if we just get one? Well, we got the right one, but the law of averages says I got to do the 10 to get the one. So if I do 8, I promise you I'd miss the one. Wouldn't you? I don't know if y'all like that or not, but I guarantee you I'd miss the one. So we want to know the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him. So here comes the fruit thing. We got three. It's important that we walk worthy so we can be fruitful. Number one, we got to know the knowledge of his will. Now, number two, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in what? Oh, let me go back. Knowledge. That was a clear understanding. It expresses a participation in the object of the knowledge on the part of the knower. That was important. That's the reason I stuck it in there. Knowledge of his will. If you have true knowledge of the will of God, that word knowledge there means that you will participate in the knowledge that you now obtain. So the knowledge of his will means you will move on his will. You have a knowing. You have such a knowing that you believe it and you'll do what you believe. Now, do I believe that everybody I'll pray for will be healed? Maybe not in that moment or whatever. I don't know. I'm not the healer. But if I'm praying for somebody, My knowing that He can heal and maybe will heal, me knowing that requires me to move on His will. That's what it's talking about. We just got to move. We're going to move on His will. The end result is God's. Somebody being healed is not dependent on you to have the power to. It depends on you being obedient to His will. For some reason, it activates something. I'm studying on this spiritual activation thing. I hadn't got it. But I know that it's something to it. That's all I can give you at this point in time. So, we've got to do that. Will here means God's gracious. It's God's grace towards something. So that's what the word will there means. In other words, God's will is when God wants something to happen, God's wanting to pour His grace out on something. God's will is grace. Are you with me? You can say, well, Alan, he doesn't deserve to be healed. Well, God's grace still wants to do it. You say, well, he deserves it. Oh, God, don't let none of us get what we deserve, whatever you do. Right? So you have been officially, you are now an agent of the knowledge of God's grace and mercy and His will to bestow it on others. For some reason, when you pray for somebody, you activate the grace of God in their life. Now, that statement's true, and I don't understand it. Can you go with me on that one? Now, to walk worthy, you need three things: knowledge of His will. In Romans, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So how can I know the knowledge of His will or His perfect will? It's because I've let my mind be renewed. The part of your mind that you don't like and stinks is that's the part of your mind that's yet to be renewed. The part of your mind that says, I am withholding forgiveness, is the part of your mind that's yet to be renewed. The part of your mind that says somebody needs to get what they deserve and I'm going to withhold God's grace is the part of your mind that's yet to be renewed. Does anybody agree with me? Does anybody still need some renewal going on? Say, Alan, how do you know that? Because I was just reading my own. That's all I was doing. I said, oh my gosh. I'm having my life flash before my eyes as I say that to you. So we got to have our minds renewed. Just knowledge of His will is not enough. Now here's what happens in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, you had prophets going out prophesying. And it says they had all knowledge of the will of God. That's what it says. You can read it right there's the verses. That's what it says. But yet they turned into false prophets. So it takes more than just knowledge of His will. You got to have the knowledge of His will, but that ain't enough. You can read it right there. I can show it to you. You might be filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom. So you can have knowledge of His will, but you got to have wisdom to go with the knowledge of His will if you're going to walk worthy. That's what Paul's saying here. Wisdom tells you how to take the knowledge and apply it. You got knowledge of His will, but you got to have wisdom to show you how to apply it. Wisdom is hidden in the knowledge of the truth. So you can have knowledge of the will. You can have knowledge of truth, but not have the wisdom that's in the truth. Let me give you a little clue to what wisdom in the truth is. Wisdom in the truth is always redemptive. Never judgmental. What does wisdom look like? It's always redemptive, never judgmental. What does wisdom look like? The knowledge of the will of God is, it's always extending grace and mercy, not judgment and death. What does wisdom look like? What does wisdom look like on your face? It's the wisdom is the glory of God coming through the knowledge of the truth. That's where the supernatural hits the ground running. Wisdom is hidden in the knowledge of the truth. You got the knowledge of the truth and the wisdom's hidden down in it. Wisdom is how to apply the knowledge of truth. I can take the knowledge of truth and kill somebody with it. I can step on the street corner, you're all going to go to hell. And I can quote scripture, and it'll be the truth. But it's not given in wisdom. So just to have the knowledge of the truth without wisdom can bring death instead of life. Got to have wisdom if you're going to walk worthy. Number three, you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom with spiritual understanding. So just having wisdom is not enough. You got to have knowledge of the will of the truth of God. You got to have wisdom, which is down in the truth. Then you got to understand the truth in which you're giving. What's understanding? Understanding's like a road map. You start in Stony Point, and you go to Charlotte, and you go 4077, you go over here, you end up in Charlotte. Understanding is taking the truth and be able to tell somebody where they are and where they can go. You can spout out truth all day long in wisdom. I can give you Confucius say all you want. It's not going to get you nowhere. You can spout out God's word and God's will with great wisdom all you want to. But if you don't have spiritual understanding, you can't communicate it to a flea. Does anybody love me? I love you too. Y'all know I got to quit. Spiritual is a breath of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual understanding means you're given the understanding out of the breath of the Holy Spirit. Understanding is critical insight of knowing how to evaluate anything. I know where you are and I know where you need to go. Are you with me? So when we're praying on how we're worthy, does anything in there, watch this one. To walk worthy, you need three things. Knowledge of His will, which is a clear understanding, expresses a participation in the object of the knowledge on the part of the knower. You need wisdom, which tells you how to take the knowledge and apply it. You need spiritual understanding, which is inspired critical insight of knowing how to evaluate anything. Does anything, any of that have to do anything with you? Not a cotton-picking thing. So you get up in a debate and say, well, now this is what I think about it. Well, pooey on what you think about it. It ain't got nothing to do with the Spirit. I don't care what you think about it. God doesn't care what you think about it. And whoever you're talking to, I promise you don't care. You're just taking up good air. None of that has to do with anything about you. Everything has. That right there is about Christ in you. A hope of glory. You can say, well, Alan, I had a bad week. It's all right. Step right up to the plate because Christ hadn't slipped a bit. Say, Jesus, I need to repent here a little bit so you can come through me. I got a hush. It's 20 after 10. Y'all got to drink a cup of coffee and eat a chicken egg. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that You'd help us and show us how to walk worthy. Let us walk worthy this day going into this next session here of our worship towards a Heavenly Father and Almighty God. And God, thank You so much for letting this not be about us. Just glory, hallelujah. We have been set free from the bondage of it being about us. And show us how to walk worthy and to be in relationship that it's Christ in us. And dear God, it's got to feel good or You wouldn't tell us to do it. God, it's got to be like a sneeze and a hiccup and a burp all at the same time. It's got to feel good. So Lord, let Christ come through us. Let us feel how good You are. In Jesus' name, everybody want to try that one, said amen. Okay, 10 minutes.